the house of prayer, worship, corporate gatherings, small group discipleship. It comes together in a way that we are planted deeply locally, but aiming globally. I want to give you about five things that define an Antioch. But right now, I want everyone to stand up for just a minute. I want you to put your hands on your eyes right now. We're going to ask the Lord to give us eyes to see. Right now, say, Jesus, give me eyes to see what you're doing on the earth. And put your hands on your ears. Say, Spirit, give me ears to hear what you're saying and to respond. And then put your hand on your heart and say, Heart, open up to the Lord. I command you to open up and say yes. Amen. All right, you guys can be seated. Good job. So Antiochs are this place of convergence where things start coming together and it might look messy. Actually, I think Antiochs can be places of great tensions, but not every tension is meant to be resolved. Some tensions are meant to be worked with and celebrated, not to be squashed and put down. Now, we're not talking about tension over whether we should get green carpet or red carpet. Who cares, right? We're talking about tensions, different kinds. But whenever you get streams flowing together into one river, you're going to have some turbulence, right? It's going to be turbulent, but it's also going to be more powerful. So here's some tensions. Antioch was a convergence of people from many different backgrounds and ethnicities. Because we're not familiar with all these locations, we could let that escape us. But can I tell you, there were Jews in this group. There were Gentiles. Up till that time, they weren't even supposed to go into each other's houses. And now they're in the same church. They're going to be eating and drinking. Don't tell me that's not a tension to be worked through. But a good thing that we didn't just say, hey, let's just have your Gentile church and your Jew church. No, we're all one in Christ, right? So there were Gentiles and there were Jews. There were Arabs and Jews. Syria is an Arab nation. They got along about as good then as they do now. They're all in one church. There were people from Africa. I love that. There were men, there were women, there were poor, there were very wealthy. Did you notice that the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas was in their leadership? Why do you think that made the Bible? Because that still defined his life. He's rich. He's upper class. He's a politician. He was the childhood friend of the king. As when the king Herod was little, he was specifically chosen to be the king's friend. Don't think the little king just gets to run around the streets and figure out who his friends are. Oh, no, 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 no. They take the prince and they surround him with the people they want to surround him with, which are princely people. People of government, people of influence. So you have politicians, people who are running with the king, and you've got the black man from Africa. I don't know about him, but I'm just happy about him. He probably added some pizzazz to the worship. Stereotyping in a good way. Just teasing, of course. And you've got the Jews. Now, then you have Paul. What do we know about Paul? Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was literally the most educated man of the day, Paul would have been. And then you have Barnabas, who's just a son of encouragement. Oh, I love that guy. I mean, you have Antiochs in Antioch was a convergence of people from many different backgrounds and ethnic groups. And the culture convergence made them stronger, not weaker. Guess what? You'll never know how to operate in supernatural love until you get around people who are different than you. We can't just surround ourselves with people who are just like us. That's just not the kingdom. Jesus loves nations. He loves people groups. He loves different cultures. And in Antioch in the Bible, and the Antiochs the Lord is raising up, appreciate diversity of culture and ethnicity and say, you know what? There may be a tension here because I do it this way and you do it this way, but this isn't a tension to squash, meaning one person just make sure one person's dominant over. It's a tension to work through. Let's figure it out together. Yeah, two rivers came together and it's kind of swirly, but it's also powerful. Yeah. I love it when the nations show up in this room. You guys have been here on a Sunday when we've counted them sometimes. Remember we had the South Koreans? They all moved. They went back to their families. Miss the South Koreans. They sat right back there. The salmons just have their row now. We have South Africans among us. Can you guys raise your hand? Yeah, South Africans. Welcome, Tom and Louie, right? And when do you guys head back? Do you go back to your family soon, right? End of March. We have you for a while. Yay! Can you guys give the South Africans a warm welcome? Brothers in Christ, they speak English, but their native language is what? Afrikaans. Oh, I love it. I want to get them up here just to talk in Afrikaans, but I'm going to keep preaching. Maybe we'll have you pray at the end in Afrikaans. You can say anything you want. You can't mess up. We can't understand it, and we'll just join in. We got to celebrate countries and cultures. Do you know your culture is not better than anyone else's culture? It is just different. It is just different. And our language is not superior to any other language. It's just different. Second convergence in Antioch. Antioch was a convergence of both local and global. They were building something by the grace of God in the city of Antioch that was planted locally, reaching their local city. You would see, I read it here, you would see Barnabas and Paul and other ones teaching publicly, regularly, discipling the city, preaching the gospel, sharing Christ. They had a local ministry that was thriving, but it was both local, locally planted, but globally aimed. And that was the reason why they could hear the assignments set apart for me today, Paul and Barnabas, and send them out to the nations. And why Paul and Barnabas felt like it was an environment where they were sent out, but they could actually return and get refueled and hear the fresh word of the Lord. It was a convergence of local and global. It is being locally planted and having a vision for Huron and having a vision for the nations is not in competition with one another. It's a convergence. It may feel like it's getting swirly, right? Two rivers come, whoa, you know, and some of us might get, you know, maybe a fear might rise up. Well, what if we are thinking so much about other countries that we're not thinking about, you know, our own city? Don't worry, guys. If you're called to this city, then you have something to bring to the table. You better bring it to the table. And if you're called to another nation, then come and sit at the table and let's learn from one another and be better for it. Because God's raising up Antiochs that are a convergence of both local and global. So next Sunday is our ascending service for our team that's going to Eurasia. I'm being filmed right now. To our Eurasia location. And then a month later, we'll be having ascending service for Panama. Can you stand up right now if you're going to be going to Eurasia, our Eurasia location, or to Panama? Can you just stand up? Aha, that is awesome. Let's give these guys a hand clap. Took a lot of faith to get to this moment. Thank you. You can be seated. We want to get good at sending people out and then receiving them back, right? Even short-term teams. Number three, because I'm going to keep on going here. Antioch was a convergence of both word and spirit. I really love this. They were given deeply to being rooted in God's word. They wanted to have red, but it's on. Okay, I'm just going to use it till it dies, and then we'll just grab the longest cord and go for it. So at Antioch, you found this convergence of both word and spirit. They wanted to be sound in their doctrine, but they wanted also to be sensitive. One more time, I got one more set of batteries, and then we're really out of options. It's okay, it's going to last me. In Jesus' name. First world problems. We're going to be okay. All right, guys. Antioch was a church where you always saw them preaching the word, but where there was a high, high respect for the movement of the Holy Spirit and for the Spirit's voice. Even look at Acts 13, verse 1. Among the prophets and teachers of the church of Antioch were, and then he lists them. I'm glad he doesn't say which ones were prophets and which ones were teachers. I think we get kind of caught up in that. He just says, there are prophets and there were teachers. In Acts 11:26, it says, for a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. So lots of teaching. Then it also says, in the midst, Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Paul. There was an environment where they didn't devalue the preaching of the word to make room for the prophetic. They are not in competition. The word builds the foundation for our mission. The prophetic brings specific assignments into view. I'm going to say it again. The word builds a foundation for our mission. So we know what our foundation is. We're not going to deviate from it. The prophetic brings specific assignments into view. That's how we got connected with our Eurasia location that we're going to be going to in a couple weeks. In prayer, in a prayer meeting, Holy Spirit grips our heart for that location and the assignment that's happening there right now. And we're like, we have got to be a part of that. The word of God is in the driver's seat. The prophetic is in the passenger seat helping to navigate. Never, never switch them up. Otherwise, you get really goofy assignments that are just outside of the word of God. But if the word of God is in the driver's seat, and then the prophetic is equally like we are honoring the prophetic, because that's helping us aim where we're supposed to be preaching. Aim where we're supposed to be going or what we're supposed to be doing or serving. And you saw that in Antioch. In Acts 11, you see in verse 28, that Agabus stood up and foretold by the Holy Spirit there'd be a great famine. And the entire church of Antioch responded by faith and said, we're going to take up an offering because we know the famine is coming. We believe it. And we want to respond and give generously to those that are going to be affected by the famine. because they valued both the prophetic and the word, which I think makes the prophetic so much more powerful when it's built onto the foundation of God's word that never changes. Everything's judged through his word. Number four, Antiochs are a convergence of both pioneering and pastoral. Let me tell you what I mean by that. We're building people along with prophetic vision to touch the ends of the earth. When we talk about a pastoral ministry, this one's green. This one's green. Let's see. If this one runs out, we're going to do handheld. Okay, we're going to go back to our roots, back to the beginning days when we used to be on a leash. The pastoral ministry is a ministry of building people, pastoring people. But Antiochs are a convergence of both pastoral and pioneering. We pastor people to get them healthy, to build up disciples who are disciple makers, disciples who disciple, who can pioneer. We want people healthy. We want discipleship and personal growth to be so important so that you're healthy to run your race. We pursue personal health, personal character development. You get in your own root system in Christ. We pursue that so that when Jesus tells you to run with him, you have strength for it. We pursue it so that you'll be a healthy enough person that you can do whatever assignment the Lord gives you, and it won't trip you up because you have no spiritual root or because you're emotionally immature or because you can't do relationships or because you can't handle finances. And all of a sudden, your life's in ruins. You had this great big call of God on your life, this big assignment, but you were never discipled. You were never grown up in the ways you needed to grow up, so you couldn't do it. And in Antiochs, there is a convergence of both pioneering new works, let's run with God, and this value, hey, the assignment's not more important than the person. I don't want to sacrifice any of you on the altar of some vision I have to reach the nations. If you're not ready to go, you're not ready to go. Stay here, get your roots down. God cares about you as a person. He doesn't want you to be shipwrecked. He really cares about you. You're his son, his daughter. And no assignment out there is more important than your soul and your family. So we want to be a place like the Antioch in the Bible, that grows up healthy people, healthy families, who when they receive that assignment, they're ready to run. Number five, Antioch was a convergence of both ministries and vocations. Antioch was made up of moms and career people and those in full-time ministry. Just read the definitions of who was there. It was a people who were committed to living out the values of prayer and worship and discipleship together, compassion and missions, everyone playing their part. Everyone's important in the family. Let me just give a shout out. A few weeks ago, we had the Bruce family here, right? What, was anyone blessed by, how many were blessed by their ministry? It was amazing, wasn't it? So sweet. They have just such a heart after the Lord. I love what God's doing in and through them. I was so blessed by them also. Everybody has a part to play in the family, though. So Rose calls me and says, Holy Spirit told me to make them homemade bread. They were in an Airbnb here. And here she comes with a box of bacon to drool over and like canned goods and homemade bread and a home. I mean, just everything Hutterite good and right in this world was in that box. And you know what? Hospitality is actually a gift of the Holy Spirit as much as prophecy is. Hospitality is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And Rose was hosting those that God had brought to us. Shannon had the family over for dinner multiple times. And they had told me many times how blessed they were by her hospitality and by the life of her kids. All I was saying is, I'm so proud of the way that you guys hosted the presence of God when we were all together, but hosted people's personal needs when we weren't all together. Antiochs are churches with a lot of variety, and everyone isn't vying for the same position. They just said, God, what gift you've given me, I'm going to serve the body with. Because your gift isn't for yourself. Your gift is to serve. And that's been happening here, and I'm really proud of you guys. Last, Antiochs are sending centers, and I've said this term many times. I'm just going to keep saying it. Antiochs are sending centers to both neighborhoods and nations. You don't have a lesser call if you're called to be a bright and shining light at your workplace in Huron, South Dakota. Please do it. If that's where God calls you, you are needed. You are needed. Mamas with little kids, discipling their children full time, where you're doing more laundry and dishes than any other thing during your day, you better not step out of that assignment if that's the one the Lord's given you. Holy unto the Lord. Holy unto the Lord is that assignment. But Antiochs are sending centers where we recognize you are sent wherever Holy Spirit tells you to be sent. To your apartment complex, to your neighborhood, to your school, to the cheer team, if you're in high school, to the track team, to wrestling. I wanted to say football, and then I wanted to say all the things you do, amazing Moses. Wrestling is what was on my mind, though. Moses is a star wrestler. God's given him a gift. I just use it for God's glory. Beat the guys and then pray for them. He's so gracious. He's so kind. And he's out there whooping everybody's rear. He really is so polite. The politest champion you've ever seen. We're proud of you, Moses. Oh, my goodness. We want to be an Antioch where we're not exalting one assignment over another. We are coming together to empower you to do what God has called you to do. We want to reach neighborhoods and we want to reach nations. Because there's billions, not millions, not thousands, billions. We're talking, 40% of the world hasn't heard his name. So we want to be part of both. And I believe by the grace of God, we can be. So whether you're going overseas to Panama or to Eurasia and dipping your feet into the waters of missions overseas, that's exciting. Or whether you're like Marlette, where's Marlette at? She was telling me right before service, God's given her a ministry at the nursing home, and she was just there this last week, ministering to people there who are so hungry and thirsty, telling me about her brother who just led someone to the Lord and then died, that the person died the next day. Telling you, whatever your assignment is, neighborhoods or nations, just run and do it. And let's purpose in our heart to be a family who says, we're going to get in line with God. We're going to create, by the grace of God, a place where the Spirit is welcome, where the Word is revered, where assignments are taken seriously, and where by the grace of God, the gospel is preached to neighborhoods and nations and wherever the Lord tells us to go. Why don't you stand up right now? Let's just close our eyes. Let's just, if you feel comfortable, just lift your hands up to the Lord. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come right now. We invite you to come. Holy Spirit, you're a dove, land. Just land right now on your people. To heal hearts, to open eyes, to release assignments. I feel pretty strong that people who went through a hard season, that you're coming into a season of redemption, where the Lord is repaying for losses in your family, personal losses. I just want you to if you feel like that resonates in your heart, I want you to just lift your hands up to the Lord and receive it right now. It's just time. I just feel like the Lord's like, it. Don't worry. I'm not going to tarry on this one. It's time to release the promises right now. Jesus. And I see the Lord, and he's behind like an accountant's ledger. And I feel like this is a word for somebody who you've had a lot of losses, and he's literally been tallying it up. He's like tallying it up. Like every time it looked like the devil won, he was like tallying it up. And he's like, I didn't miss a thing. I heard every accusative word the enemy spoke against you. I heard every lie that was spoken, even in secret, against you and your calling. I have heard it, and I have kept an account, and I will repay you personally, straight from the hand of the Lord. He's an accountant like no other. He tallies up the marks of the enemy against you. And like Job, it says at the end of his life, the Lord made sure Job's losses did not surpass his gains. His gains surpassed his losses. And at the end, he said, I'm going to make you more blessed than in your time of loss. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, da, da, da. Jesus. Just receive it. Some of you are like getting pictures even, like the Lord is confirming his word to you. You're feeling the presence of God. Some memories are coming to you even that you're like, I just thought that was dead and buried, but I feel like the Lord's saying he's gonna make that one right. That thing that happened 10 years ago, right now he's gonna make it right. I think there's reconciliation to relationships that have looked dead coming too. Lord, you speak resurrection over dead things. Thank you, Lord.